This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
Yep. So, David Vance. Good to catch up with David Vance over Northern Ireland, and who else would I want to catch up with? But David Vance. So David, thank you for your time today.
Pleasure to be here, as always, Peter. This time in the flesh, so to speak.
In the flesh. He is real. He does exist.
Yeah.
For all those skeptics out there. But we've already had a good hour chatting about everything. So I think David has put the world right completely.
Already. This is extra time.
Absolutely. So David, people can find you on at David Vance on Getter, on Gab, on Rumble, on all the podcasts. Where can they find you if they're not sure where?
They can find me everywhere but Twitter. Simple. It's simple enough. So
ignore the Twitter hierarchy.
Yes. The Twitter overlords didn't want me. I don't want them. I've deleted them. So yeah. But everywhere else, I'm there.
I find coming over to Northern Ireland, it's a little bit different from England, and I think you follow the Mad Hatters of Sturgeon and Drakeford.
Yeah.
And you now require your medical papers. So tell us what that's like, because that's happened quite recently here in Northern Ireland.
Well, the rumour is that people are fleeing Northern Ireland for North Korea to get a wee bit more liberty. Because, you have Kim Jong Drakeford in Wales, and yes, we have Nippy in Scotland. But here in Northern Ireland, folks, we have a kind of bizarre hybrid executive, which different political parties within it.
Yeah.
But the one thing that unites them is a hatred of freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
So that's why we've now been the only part of, I think, certainly the UK, if not beyond that, that's implemented a new regulations which says that you're not exempt anymore from wearing a mask. That's it. You have to wear a mask. So if someone, for example, is a rape victim or whatever and they can't wear a mask, tough.
Wow.
Tough.
Wow.
That's the new hate legislation introduced in Northern Ireland. Whether it'll go anywhere, I don't know. I think it's in convention. It's in breach of, ironically, the 2010 Equalities Act, the 1995 Disabilities Act.
Yeah.
So there's this one of the strange things about COVID times is politicians trying to override established law.
Yeah.
But it's established law. Where does that go? Don't know where it goes, but anyway, that's the situation we're in here.
And I caught up with friends for breakfast, and I was confronted with all these signs, which basically said, have your medical papers ready. And again, in England, we don't have that as yet, but you followed Scotland and Wales. So what are you supposed to show? Is it if they serve alcohol, you need to prove your status?
Yeah, if it's licensed premises.
At 10 a.m., we weren't drinking alcohol. Can I just point that out?
yeah, there are some that do. But so if it's a licensed premises, then you've got to show your papers.
You've got
to show your at whatever time of day. They actually considered bringing it in for coffee shops as well.
Okay.
And they held back. They refrained from
that.
For Irish coffees, yeah. So they're currently exempt, but that could easily change as well. So it's a papers police society. This is where we live.
This, actually, what's happened over the last year, I read one of your many wonderful comments on, I think it was Getter, and the comment was that the thing you found the strangest, the most difficult to accept this year has been not the controls, not that people have accepted everything, not that they want more, but actually that you could have friends, family, neighbours who actually could dob you in, who could report you for being a rule breaker.
Yep.
And that's the situation. Why is it that particular area which has kind of surprised you the most or hit you the most?
I think it's just the general cognitive dissonance that goes on. Whether it is the fact that people will dob you in.
Yeah.
I mean, no one can now possibly not understand how the 1930s in Germany came about.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
Yeah.
So when you've got a cognitively dissonant society, it's capable of anything. So people, you know, the reason has gone out the window, as we were talking about before we started this. You know, when logic and reason are abandoned, where do you go? apart from deeper into tyranny, which is where, you know, so in this small little part of the UK, we've embraced a level of tyranny, which is kind of unbelievable, but most people are happy with it.
Why is it in Northern Ireland? That's what I'm surprised. You see Sturgeon and Drakeford, they're full on accepting every control they can of society. Yeah. And have held off. Northern Ireland accepted it. I was a little bit surprised. I thought Northern Ireland would not have gone down that same route.
So did, and I had hoped that. But then again, if you look at the Irish Republic,
yeah,
I mean, it's full on North Korea.
Yeah, yeah.
So no one, so there's that. But there's the other thing which I think is a factor, and it's this. People think, the politicians driving this. But is it?
Yeah.
Is it? So who's driving this, all this here in Northern Ireland? I'll tell you. The Chief Medical Officer, Sir Michael McBride, and Professor Ian Young, and these other medical hacks, they're the people telling the politicians what to do. The politicians then go along with it. So they're culpable too. But so I kind of feel, and I don't know what most people think, but I think what we're living through, it's a World Health Organization global tyranny. Yeah. Driven down through the political channels, implemented in different ways with nuances around the place. But it's them that's driving it. So actually, the World Health Organization is the greatest danger to our health. Yeah. There's an irony.
McBride, Sir McBride, that's England's Sir Whitty, is it?
Yes, Michael McBride is the Chris Whitty of Northern Ireland, with all the charm and easygoing grace that Chris Whitty has. In actual fact, the reason I believe that we've got this horrible twist on the mask exemption here is because about 3 or 4 weeks ago, McBride was out and about like a guy leader, and he saw people in supermarkets not wearing masks.
This was you, was it?
It wasn't me, but because he went up and challenged people.
Yeah,
this guy, the Chief Medical Officer in Northern Ireland, went up in supermarkets and challenged people.
Like Stephen Nolan does.
Yes, like Stephen Nolan, a grotesque BBC buffoon. Why are you not wearing a mask?
Yeah.
And he could tell, he claimed that he could tell if it was a proper exemption or not. Now, unless he's a telepath, he can't tell.
Yeah.
So that would suggest that he's a liar in the first instance. But he got universally taken to task on social media. And within 2 weeks, they changed the law, this nasty twist whereby you cannot be exempt unless you get proof of exemption. And then they don't define what proof of exemption is.
Yeah.
And then if you say, well, can I get a letter from a GP? No, GPs won't give you an exemption.
No.
So we've got a society here where some very traumatized people, really seriously, folks, people, and I know some instances where these people have gone through awful stuff and they can't put this thing on their mind. Yeah, they just can't do it. Tough. They're going to be taken to court and fined, or else they can make their case. And that's how we're doing it. How it's being done here. And whether it happens in England or not, I don't know. I don't know, because I do think there's divergences happening in the UK, which is bad for those of us who are unionists and who believe in a united kingdom. It's horrible to see the splintering in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. But it's here. It is here. But I think actually the worst twist is coming for England.
Yeah.
This is my theory.
Well, it's good to know that McBride has the same charm factor as Whitty. That's always
He's
good.
A guy who lights up a room by leaving it.
Watching actually and reading, listening to the news this morning, I was really surprised because they were talking about the Omicron wave. But they were talking about the Omicron wave possibly, maybe, may happen, but it hasn't happened yet. But don't worry, it's coming. Now, there was another big story, which was Ghislaine Maxwell's trial, which she was found guilty on nearly all the counts, five or six, don't know the exact details of it. But to me, actually, having a paedophile network of very rich, famous people across the world wide is a bigger thing than a wave of colds, which may happen.
Well, yeah.
It was weird.
So Omicron, in my view, is an anagram of the common cold.
Yeah.
The symptoms of Omicron are the symptoms of the common cold. Yeah. So it's a common cold.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a big nothing.
Yeah.
But the way this trial and the verdict in particular is being managed, again, I no longer believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
This story is happening now because they want it to happen now. It deflects. We don't know the names in the black book.
Exactly.
We don't know which individuals have gotten away with this paedophilia. But they just deflect and they contort news. So, I mean, Omicron, the tsunami of Omicron, which happens every year because it's the cold,
yeah.
is I think the narratives, do you not think that the narrative is crumbling a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, there's so many great memes in this, but I've seen a great meme on social media where it's basically somebody with a stick poking Omicron, and the person with the stick is the government, and they're saying to Omicron, do something. And of course, it's doing nothing.
Yeah.
It's doing nothing. Yeah. In South Africa, it's gone. And again, where, you know, but again, interesting thought. In South Africa, 26% jabbed. It's all over.
Yeah.
Nobody died. Excuse me. In here, in the UK, 70%+ jabbed, and it's a tsunami.
Yeah.
Somebody, a critical thinker, might feel, so the more you get jabbed in a society, the more likely you get waves of this stuff.
Yeah.
What's the jab doing?
I find it so strange that they spent, someone sent me a clip of one of the news programs this morning, and they were spending a good 8 minutes talking about something which may or may not happen. I mean, at what point does the news report what possibly may happen sometime in the future? And they were saying it hasn't happened yet, but don't worry, it could happen.
Yeah,
so in case you were relaxed about this, don't worry, we're hitting you with more fear.
That's right. The Nightingale, so you see, they're opening 8 Nightingale hubs in English hospitals, and they are on, quote, a war footing.
Yeah.
For the common cold? Come on. What's it? It's fear porn from the NHS.
Yeah.
The NHS is, in my view, deplorable the way it plays along with this whole central government narrative of, you got to look out for Omicron. Omicron is, you know, it's a Spanish flu, except it doesn't kill anybody.
Well, the booster could be a sachet of Lemsip.
The booster, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, okay, I mean, look at the, you know, look at the Scottish population. This is an interesting stat. Scotland is 50% jabbed. Oh, it's a booster.
Yeah.
Boosted. They got 50% of the boosters in Scotland, and they've just recorded, I think yesterday, the highest number of cases, which is 3 times higher than it was 12 months ago.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, Peter, so let me think this one through. So you've jabbed, you've triple jabbed 50% of your population, you've double jabbed 80% of it or whatever. And you've got more cases than you had 12 months ago.
Mm.
It's almost like, do these vaccines work? I think they do, because you know that they're working when you get it.
Yeah.
That's the new proof of validation. Although some individuals are starting to come out now and say, no, the vaccines aren't designed to stop you getting it or stop you transmitting it. They're designed to stop you ending up in hospital or dying. Which is curious because, according to the UK Health Security Agency, the majority of people in hospital and dying are double jabbed, you see. So I'm not sure how that one works.
You mentioned Nightingale, and obviously you would have had a tsunami of people in the hospitals last year whenever they weren't jabbed.
Yeah.
But there were 7 Nightingale hospitals.
Yeah.
There were, 11,000 beds. In London, they had 4,000 beds.
Mm-hmm.
51 beds were used, so it's quite a waste of all those beds. But I read that the setup costs of those 7 were around 210, 220 million.
Yeah.
So it's quite expensive whenever there wasn't a large group of people, but they're obviously setting up these hospitals again because there will be a wave whenever people have been jabbed, and there was a wave whenever people weren't jabbed. You're right, the narrative really should crumble in front of people's eyes. But yet
people
sometimes people are just nodding and saying, we need this.
That's what we need. We need even more than this. I'm sure Labour are suggesting, 8, 16, double
exactly.
It. Have 16 COVID hubs and let's push that we're on a war footing. And you're on a war footing against something which, because for me, the main narrative and all, the main metric for me is death.
Yep.
Deaths is what matters. How many people are dying? And, you know, I did the thing on my podcast thing on Scotland, and the average number of deaths in the past, I think 7 days, is, I think it's 10. Scottish population, 5.4 million. Do the maths on that one. 10 people, 5.4 million population. And again, it's a tsunami.
I mean, are heart attacks from deep fried Mars bars not a bigger issue in Scotland?
Heart attacks from having to put up with Sturgeon. I think they'd be fair. I mean, if I had to live under the diktat of Sturgeon and her gauleiters in the SNP, maybe I would become unwell. And yet, you know, the only good thing is, as we approach the start of 2022, we see stories in the press, which is hilarious, of all these Scots chartering their buses to head down to Carlisle, Blackpool, Liverpool, Newcastle, party. Hogmanay in England. Whoa, how does that one work for Scottish independence?
But Sturgeon did warn Scots not to go south of the border, so there could be troops. Well, Scotland don't have their own army. Well,
no.
Who would that be?
I don't know. I'm not sure who they would deploy.
The SNP?
Well, have you looked at some of the SNP zealots on the border? I've seen that previously. Or in Brexit.
Blackford or Blackwood, he would block off
the border. He could easily block one of the motorways on an individual basis if he stood in it. But yeah, so I don't know. It's such a rich irony, you know, independent Scotland. And then the Scots are now fleeing to England to have a party. I know friends in Scotland, Glasgow, who have been going down to Newcastle to get to enjoy themselves. I don't blame them. But then again, if you vote for the SNP, what are you complaining about?
Well, that's the whole area in politics. But on to something else, on to restrictions and controls and blacklists on social media. And you've obviously had the fun because you're a dangerous individual on Twitter.
Yes.
So you were removed for the safety of
society. Rightly so.
Rightly so.
Rightly so, 100%.
So another person who has just been removed from Twitter is Robert Malone, MD, who inventor of the mRNA. And we've had him on before on an interview. He's moved over to Getter and... He's now got 30,000 followers on Getter, up from, I think, 3,000 yesterday or something. And by the time this goes out, it'll be well over that. But he had 500,000 on Twitter. But that whole issue is, I mean, hugely frightening because he, as a doctor, as the inventor of mRNA, was putting out a different line to the government.
Yep.
And that was not accepted narrative. And that is all concerning because as people accept what they hear from their TV sets and alternative information, they're being restricted on that.
Yeah.
So it's really a dangerous...
The thing is that it's so obvious at this point in the game that if you dare to challenge any particular narrative and you have enough profile, they'll wipe you out. You know, so just Robert Malone. The only thing is they're taken down from Twitter, but he's going on the Joe Rogan.
I know,
and he's going to get about 40 million views in that. So
thank you, Twitter.
So thank you, Twitter. So I mean, they don't always achieve that which they want, but platforms like Twitter are about censorship. I mean, as you know, I dared to challenge Marcus Rashford in the UK.
Yeah.
That's a cardinal crime. Thou must not challenge Marcus Rashford. Fine, so be it. Sort it then. I don't want to be on a platform that doesn't allow me to express honest opinion. But with Robert Malone, it's shocking. And I should point out, by the way, since the last time we spoke, Alt News Media itself, which is obviously a platform I'm associated with, was removed from Twitter, even though I don't tweet on it. And that's another instance of, you know, you cannot win on these. Silicon Valley tyranny platforms should be avoided like the plague. And that's Facebook and YouTube as well. Hello, YouTube.
How have you found on the alternative platforms? Because we're all learning how to get the message out. So how have you found it?
I found it's great. And you know, Peter, the really good thing about like what we do and the things, you know, with Hearts of Oak and my own thing, I just love being able to speak freely. That's all that really matters to me. I've never said I'm right about anything. I could be wrong on everything. But I love the right to be able to say it without having to have that big voice of Silicon Valley in my ear saying, you need to watch yourself or we'll give you a strike or we'll, you know, we'll just suspend your account. So the new platforms, Getter is great.
Yep.
I find Getter great. But I love Gab as well. Parler's more of a, not maybe doing so well, which is a warning. Parler was doing brilliantly this time a year ago. Look what they've done to Parler in 12 months. So people shouldn't gloat about Parler. But that said, I think we're in a good place. New technology will continue to come along and they won't beat us. They will not silence us. They'll never shut me up.
Exactly. We're obviously putting the message out. One thing I've been surprised about, many things. One thing is about the lack of high-profile figures putting out a opposing view to the government on COVID.
Yeah.
You've got footballers, you've got Letizier, you've got Gary Neville, you've got Trevor Sinclair. I love watching Majid Nawaz and his stuff he's putting out.
Really
but
good.
Actually, it's a very small pool, and I'm looking around and surprised that there aren't high-profile figures who are stepping into that and giving the truth.
Yeah, well, because they are all manipulated and controlled in one way or the other. Mm. People say follow the money. Mm. I think you should follow the money with most of these so-called celebrities and so-called high-profile people. They're just high-profile stooges to me, all of them. Who would take advice from any of them anyway?
I know.
I don't really care what they think. I don't care what Andrew Neil thinks about anything.
Yeah.
Anything, but I'll just leave it. I'm not going anywhere. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. 2022. We're just going into 2022. We're what 15 days to flatten the curve, and we're now into year three of this. Do you see us going back to normal or increasing restrictions?
No, we're not going back to normal. You know, I'd love to be a voice of, and I try to be cheerful and optimistic, but have to be realistic as well. Do I think it's going to change in 22? No. I'd be very worried for England in 2022. And here's my, I'll just give you a quick one on that. I reckon, based on what I hear Tobias Elwood say, what I've heard from Ian Duncan Smith, so-called libertarian, I think England might find itself in this bizarre place where you're lighter on the regs and you have to have mandatory jabs.
Is that
possible? And I think the government could make it very difficult for English people in particular and say, well, Boris could do his, look, I'm not having the same legislation we're having in Scotland or Wales or wherever. But you've got to take the booster. And we're going to have to make you take the booster. So do I think that could happen in 22? Yeah, I do, in England. Then I probably, no doubt at that point, that Sturgeon will be holding everyone down and injecting them twice. And here they'll be thinking, and Drakeford will be doing it three times, and God knows what they'll do here.
And they'll be thanking them for it.
And they'll be thanking them for it. Thank you for boosting me against my will. So I don't think things are going to get better. They're going to get worse before they get better. But the only thing I would say, that note of positivity, is those who have resisted this regime to date, they haven't broken us. We're still strong, still standing. Are we tougher than we were a year ago? Yeah, I think we are. I think we are.
Yeah.
We're made of steel. So, you know, there is the Mac, and I throw out all these cliches, but I'll say it anyway. The finest steel is forged in the hottest fire. Well, we've been on fire since March 2020. And look at us. We may be singed, but we're still pretty strong. So I am hopeful that we're the resistance. And at moments in history, you have resistance. We are the resistance. And we're not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. So they will not get the better of us in 2022. But I think they'll try. But their phony narrative is obviously, you know, to me, it's just like detonating all over the place. And time ultimately solves all things.
You mentioned England and how that happens, looking at the resistance, which was encouraging, but nowhere near enough, which was 99 Tory MPs and then the DUP as well. But if you look at the numbers, it's irrelevant. So politically, you've got a rump of hope there, but it gets overwhelmed by all the rest, by Starmer backing everything.
So again, a bit of hopium, a little bit of hopium in this
twice.
One. Yeah, twice. What am I doing? I've got, it must be my booster I took earlier. Oh, can I say that? The 99 who rebelled, or was it 102? I never got the exact correct number. But around the ton of Conservative MPs, at the time I just dismissed that and said, okay, it's all show because they know what's going through.
Yeah.
But I've subsequently revised my opinion, and I think, well, that probably did send an internal shock through the Johnson junta at the top.
Yeah.
And so that may be one of the reasons why you have not got the restrictions that the rest of the UK has had, because Boris is a bit nervous about what happened. So there may be, sort of rebellion amongst Tory, it could rise further. So it's not, I don't think it's grasping at crumbs. I think it's people like us who are intensely political, not fully understanding the high politics of Boris Johnson and what's he interested in most, the survival of Boris Johnson. So the things that he will do to bring that about might be more than we think in terms of making concessions. I don't know, but obviously English elections coming in May, another big factor, political factor too. So I think all those reasons will make it less likely that Johnson will become more restrictive in England. But he could become more hyper on get your booster.
But they could restrict the election like they did in 2020. They could cancel them, so a wave could be coming.
Well, there will be another wave.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing that we can guarantee, apart from, it used to be they said there's only two things you can guarantee in life: death and taxes. Now, death, taxes, and the next wave of COVID. That's the only things you can now guarantee. So when the Omega, I want there to be an Omega wave, because that's going to be even more super mutant deadly.
Wow.
Twice as mild as a cold, of course.
But start all over again.
I think they talked about naming them after the constellations, didn't they?
Oh yeah, because there are enough.
Because there's enough. There's a couple of million constellations. That's the dystopian world we live in. So I think for 2022, you know, it's in a way it will be more of the same. But there's clearly an agenda being pushed through, is all about moving us into digital passports and all the rest. Everyone knows that. If you've got eyes and ears, you know they're moving us into the digital control world. Yeah. Communist Chinese authoritarianism is the game. And look at Europe.
Yeah.
Look at France. Look at Italy.
Italy.
We talked about Italy.
Yeah.
Italy's gone full fascist again.
Yeah.
And look at Germany. Look at Austria. Gone full Nazi again.
Yep, yep.
So it's like history is repeating itself. But we know from history that even in the darkest moments, in the darkest hours, there's always hope. So I still think there's hope.
And it will, I guess we're moving towards a very red, none of us know, but looking at the pattern from 9 months down to 10 weeks, it's getting shorter. So I assume it will be a, like you take vitamin tablets or something, that you also have your tablet. Because it'll be a tablet, I guess, in some form, and you'll take that every week or every day. I can see it, and then you'll have your Big Brother TV in the corner informing you that you can't leave the house if you haven't had your...
Yeah.
Your mind tries to piece together what's happening, and looking at what has happened, if that continues with this wave, then actually it's going to get more restrictive and more regular that we were forced to take whatever.
Yeah, but look at the people who are triple boosted.
Yeah.
The people at this point in time, as we speak today, at the end of 21,
yeah,
the most hysterical, fear-driven people are the triple jab.
Exactly.
And why is that? Well, because they're just going along with this.
Yeah.
I have a theory, and I think it's a reasonable theory, that the more of the mRNA technology you have in your body, is it possible that that could be affecting your immune system?
Mm.
Could that, therefore, meaning the more jabbed you are, the weaker your own natural immunity, and the more reliant you are on this new mRNA tech?
Yeah.
And if that be the case, then what are people going to be like in 12 months? Like, if we'd have said 12 months ago, people are going to be on the third jab and they're going to be going, yeah, it's great. And I feel so safe now, even though I still know I can get it. I feel so safe. What's it going to be like in 12 months? Will they be on their sixth jab and still saying it? The answer is yeah. Mm. But what will it have done to them?
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, we listen to lots of medical authority, experts.
Yep.
Lots of, you know, you want to follow the science. You've got to look at all the scientific views.
Yeah.
Some people are very, very concerned about where this is going to go in terms of the triple jab. They're the people at risk. Not the pure bloods. We're not at risk.
What's true is weird, because those who have been or most protected or the most scared were those of us who are not protected. Don't seem to be worried. It's a weird mix that you talk to people and they app full on telling you how scared you must be, but you're protected. I'm not, and I don't care.
No, is anybody watching this scared? Because I have no fear. I mean, Omicron, it is essentially the cold. And of course, a lot of colds are coronaviruses, so we know that. So I'm not remotely scared. In fact, I would hope to get it.
Yeah.
Why would I hope to get it? It would confer lifelong immunity.
Exactly.
Which the jabs don't do. They seem to last at best for about 10 or 8 weeks at best. So literally we have nothing to fear. Those of us who have not gone down the jab route. But once you've gone down that jab route and you're in jab number 3 and you're thinking, yeah, it's doing me good, but yet you're so scared of it. And we've talked about this, you know, I'm sure we've spoken to people who have triple jab who are very worried, who, for example, over the holiday period have been testing themselves on the hour, every hour.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going around to my aunts or my grannies. I'm testing myself. But why are you doing that? You're triple jab. Yeah. And they're triple jab. Yeah. What are you testing yourself for? And the answer is what they're really testing themselves for, in my mind, is paranoia.
Yeah.
That's what they've got. Not COVID, paranoia.
Yeah.
They've got their latte flows.
Yeah.
I thought a latte flow was a cafe. I must ask for one in Starbucks, see if they do. I'll have a latte flow, please, with extra soya. But no, the lateral flow, I mean, mania. I mean, that's just driving. I've called it a test-demic now.
Yeah.
It's not a ping-demic. It's, well, Yes, that as well. But it's a testemic. The jab, the triple jab, can't stop testing themselves. What are they going to be doing in 12 months to themselves?
Well, and obviously they're destroying the planet. If you think of the billions of those who are done weekly or whatever, all those bits of plastic, it's a tsunami of plastic.
A tsunami of plastic, but where might that all be coming? See those lateral flow tests? Where do they come from? Oh, yeah, China. Which is where the virus came from as well, of course. Yep. So China's doing really well out of these mass testing of lateral flows, which the UK... It seems to be almost a global centre for testing fanaticism. You don't need to test. Yeah. What are you testing yourself for? What do you think you've got if you've been triple jabbed? And if you say, well, I might have COVID, then are you not admitting so the jabs don't work? And you keep going around in the circular thing. And, you know, if you've got a logical mind at this point in time, it's a tough world, isn't it? If you're unhinged, then, oh, yeah, it's all fine. Because then full cognitive dissonance can kick in. Yeah. I'm fully jabbed, but I'm very worried about getting the thing I'm fully jabbed about. I'm sorry, get out of here. And that is the problem, you know. I want us all, I don't want to judge people. And it's wrong to judge. Mm-hmm. We know it's wrong to. But it is hard to listen to the triple jabbed explaining at length why they're very worried about getting the very thing that they've just taken three doses of a new technology to keep themselves free. I don't understand that.
I think 2022, look out for a wave of alt news media and Hearts of Oak Omicron parties, just like your chicken pox.
Yeah, the chicken pox parties.
Together.
Yeah. Omicron parties would be great.
Yeah.
We should organize. I mean, the thing is, it is essentially, the symptoms are so close to the cold that how is it not the cold? What difference does it have when the cold doesn't have? And previous years, I don't remember, Peter, in years gone by, when people got the cold this time of the year, December, January, February, people didn't say, I think we need to introduce Chinese-style authoritarianism. I don't think you had to take three jabs. I don't think you had to don't visit your gran because you're going to kill her. You didn't have to do those things. You had common sense. Common sense is now not helpful to big pharmaceutical companies. So proper behavior. If you have the cold, what do you do?
But imagine taking Lemsip and thinking, I may not make it through the day. It'll be a goner.
I've never taken a Lemsip. I've never been so bad. I've had bad colds. I've had the flu once in my life. That's the other thing. Have you ever had the cold and not known you've had the cold? Or the flu and not knowing you? Of course, you know you haven't. But now we're being asked to believe, no. 30% of people, asymptomatic.
Yeah, yeah.
This is such a dangerous disease that you don't even know you have it.
It's genius.
Or total deceit.
How is a society, do you see, will recover? Will it be build back better is obviously the line.
Yeah.
How do we recover, I guess, you've economics up, but a whole other areas of society. So how are you looking at how society actually recovers from any of this or gets out of the hole it's in?
Or does it go back to what it was or does it splinter in new ways? Mm. I think it's more likely to splinter in new ways. I think some of us have, for example, there's all kinds of new friendships have been brought about by this. Lots of people who maybe, I'm aligned with people who are ideologically different to me in other areas and I'm grateful for their friendship and for their support. So that's good. And will we lose? I think that's they're here to stay. I think some of the old ways of looking at things have gone.
Yep.
It's not about Tories versus Labour or Liberal. It's not about those things, in my view, anymore. It's about people, like-minded people, wanting to look after themselves, their families, have a good life, a life free from having experimental gene therapies imposed on them every 3 months. And you're not going to get that because they won't let us have that unless things splinter and change. So I'd like to see the kind of society we have destroyed.
Just to come to an end, some of the things that we've seen happen that as the world has focused on the possibility that we may all have a cold, that all the other things have gone under the radar, the grooming gang scandal, but also the waiting lists out of control, the rates of cancer,
shocking.
People not getting checked up, the whole gender confusion and the chaos of what we're teaching kids, and then a church which doesn't exist at all to push back. But all of that, well, the focus has been on this. It's like watching a TV program and chaos happening here and no focus. And it's curious to see how, again, society recovers from everything that's been happening under the radar. Because they're now saying that cancer will be the biggest threat to society. Yeah. But still, no one seems to be interested in that.
I'm sure everyone's seen stuff on social media. I've seen it as well of cancer patients who are going through hell. And the NHS is basically saying, yeah, we'll see it. We'll see you in a bit. But anyone who knows anyone who's gone through cancer doesn't wait, you know. Yeah. Or indeed, some of these cardiac conditions do not wait.
Yeah.
They'll take you. So this is one of the reasons why I'm such an opponent of the NHS. I've always been an anti-NHS, but I'm really, really anti-NHS now. Because it's not about caring for people anymore. It's about driving government policy.
Yeah.
And some people try to correct me in that. But I see the NHS is just another extension of government policy. And so the deaths that are going to come, yeah, that have been happening. I mean, somebody dies of cancer tomorrow, that's not going to be put down as a COVID death, yeah, but it's a consequence of COVID policy, is it
yeah,
not?
Yeah.
Therefore, who's culpable for that?
Yeah, yeah.
And those people, and it's tragic to see what's yeah, going on, Peter.
Yeah.
And as I say, if you know people, anyone who's gone through the ordeals of cancer, you don't wait, you can't wait.
Mm.
The NHS is saying, you're going to have to wait. Just like, for example, GPs. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were trying to get they have a condition and they're in great pain. And they tried to get their medication, you know, their prescription or whatever. So they had to phone the doctor to get it.
Mm.
But the problem is the doctor wasn't taking calls because...
Busy jabbing.
Too busy jabbing.
Yes.
So if, you know, so this person has to go through unmitigated pain because the doctor's too busy getting themselves 15, 20 quid a pop on putting out the boosters. That's where we are. How wrong is that? How immoral is that?
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. So, I think you're going to see just much more of this from the health establishment that are really, I look upon it as big pharmacy, sales establishment. And that's exactly where it is now. But unfortunately, illnesses do not wait. And if we had a caring NHS, they would do it differently, but we don't. NHS needs to be also totally changed, or better still, axed, in my view.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, I was wondering what you made of Wet Welby saying that actually, I think that a new Christian dogma, I think you need your vaccine status, your vaccine passport to now get into heaven.
Yeah.
Is it that?
Yeah. I've gone through this scenario with my wife whereby I arrive at the pearly gates. And the first thing I'm asked is, have you got your COVID pass? And I have to go, what? My COVID pass? Yeah, we've now implemented that up here as well. So, I listen to Welby with amusement and horror in equal measure. And amusement is far as, what a pathetic cultural Marxist we have leading the Anglican Church at one level. What a message to send to Christian people at this time of the year as well. You said it right, Peter. The church, the established church, is broadly speaking been missing in action over this. At the time of trial, what did they do? They fled. They fled the battle. And Welby, it's your moral duty to take an experimental gene therapy. I wonder what he would have been saying in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. What would be his advice have been then? Well, it's your moral duty to go into the camps, you say.
Do what you're told.
Do what you're told. Yeah. Just get your yellow star on. That's where we are with Welby. So, appalling creature. I know there are, haven't said that, we mustn't, you know, there are dissenting voices in the Anglican Church.
Yeah.
Some, and I would want to acknowledge them, but as for Welby, again, just another creature of the rotten establishment.
Sorry, I didn't want to stop you kicking Welby, sorry, I was enjoying that there. David, thank you for your time.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure.
On camera this time, so the world gets to see our chats.
Yeah, well, we do exist. I can also confirm Peter's real, and this is not a hologram. Although I wish it was, it would be easier. It's always a pleasure to catch up here in Hearts of Oaks, Peter.
People can get your regular words of wisdom on your podcast when you just pull over in the car and unload your thoughts.
You can get a little, I call them little bite-sized political podcasts, up to six a day in the world's most daily productive podcast channel. What other podcast channel does six a day? None. But I like to do that. I have fun doing it, and if people enjoy it, you can get, again, free speech. It's the most important thing, that we can speak freely, which is why I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk to you and the people on Hearts of Oak that do support free speech. So so it's been great to catch up like this rather than across the TV, the PC,
internet, real life
on the interwebs.
On the
now
interweb.
we actually are in
on
reality
the YouTube.
On the YouTube. YouTubes, yeah. So my pleasure, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, David.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list, donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.